This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Sharit. We're running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter, that's at BFM Radio, and we're asking you, do you think the voting age should be lowered to 18? Because the EC has announced that they will be tabling the motion in this parliamentary sitting coming up in July. Please do let us know. You've got about an hour left on the poll to vote. Now, aside from that, in a five-hour-long AGM yesterday, FGV Holdings' major shareholders voted against three resolutions on the FGV director's remuneration. And those major shareholders are Felda, Korporasi Permodalan Felda Malaysia, and the Armed Forces Fund Board. So according to Dato' Wira Azhar Abdul Hamid, who's chairman of FGV, this has put the directors in a bit of a bind. It's as though the shareholders still want us to be directors, but don't intend to pay us.
Well, I don't think it's all or nothing, right? You can actually have a resolution to actually reduce the remuneration. But looking at the chart of salary that was made available on the Edge Financial Daily, it seems pretty reasonable at $120,000 a year for a lot of the independent non-executive directors. That's 5,000 ringgit a month, which I think is fair for a director's salary. But the chairman's salary, Dato' Wira Azhar, whose total remuneration package comes up to almost $2 million, that seems a bit excessive, and he actually said that he agrees to waive that.
Yeah, so I think shareholders doesn't seem to be quite happy with the performance that's going on at FGV. And just looking at some of the background of the resolution, FGV sought its shareholders' approval for payment of director's fee amounting to about 2.55 million respect of financial year of December 31st, 2018. And resolution 2 involves payment of portion of director's fees to non-executive director up to 1.8 million from today until the next AGM. And resolution 3 is on payment of benefit to non-executive director for today until the next AGM of the company.
So EPF apparently also raised remuneration concerns in a letter, especially regarding the amount for the chairman that you highlighted there, Julian, which was just shy of 2 million ringgit. But they didn't vote against the remuneration resolutions. I believe they abstained. Mm. But I guess the question now is what comes next? So Azhar has said that FGV's board is still deliberating on the matter and that the issue will likely not be resolved anytime soon. So the options remain uncertain at the moment.
And the Minority Shareholders Watch Group, the MSWG, not MSG, but MSWG, also chimed in, waded into the debate by saying that the remuneration totaling about 5.4 million ringgit was on the high side. However, they also noted FGV was not a typical company. It was undergoing transformation. And I guess I am really happy that there is some revolt among minority shareholders, and it's right that they take some degree of activism. Even EPF, which only holds about 1.85% of FGV, you know, when EPF speaks, then the rest of the minority shareholders might have followed and taken the cue from EPF.
Yeah, so all that taking into consideration, they can't help but feel slighted by it. Like, for example, Azhar is saying that all the directors of FGV have worked hard to put into the plan of transformation of the company to try and improve their profitability. And what he's implying is that what he's getting a sense of is that FGV directors have been doing over the past 1.5 years is not being appreciated.
So it appears that the shareholders may be of the view, this is according to Azhar, that there are people who could do better. But Azhar did admit that he didn't know why the shareholders had opposed the resolution and whether it was related to FGV relooking at the land lease agreements with Felda. Perhaps, I don't know whether it was just also a fact of the matter that, you know, FGV, we know that FGV is in trouble. And when you see numbers like 5.4 million ringgit being bandied about in terms of salary, perhaps that was just also kind of a reflexive reaction, because that was certainly what I felt when I looked at 5.4 million. It's only when you actually look into
the breakdown
of it that you think, okay, maybe it's not quite so bad. Yeah, I don't know whether that played into it at all.
Yeah, I think there are a good 20 names there. Just a quick glance or thereabouts. So 5.7 million, if you total it up, certainly would not look good and leaves a bad taste. But I'm still stuck on the minority shareholders' activism, right? right? I think this is a good thing. And I think that not only the country is going through change, but Malaysian corporate shareholders and minority shareholders should take up this wave of change that's coming through the country as well, because the country is being dominated by GLCs, right? And if you have a lot of political appointees in GLCs, then what the stakeholders do, what the captains do, also will impact the national resources as well. So I'm very happy about the increased activism among the minority shareholders of FGV.
Yeah, but I can't help but sense that it is quite extreme to have them. It sounds like, I mean, what I'm getting is that they're going to go for another year till the next EGM without any pay. I wonder what's going to do for their motivation, though. I mean, what is, especially when FGV is right now in a situation where they need to do a lot of transformation and they need you need to get expertise. In fact, you need to be able to retain them as well. So without any pay, I don't know. I mean, how it's going to go.
By the way, the role of directors, both executive and non-executive, are very, very important. I think this really gives a lot of check and balances to a listed company, making them a lot more accountable. And therefore, if they're doing their job well, they have to be paid for it.
Now, FGV's parent company, Felda, has also been in the news today because the Felda chairman, Tan Sri Megat Zahiruddin Megat Mohamed Noor, is stepping down as chairman after just 11 months since his appointment in July 27th of last year. So sources told The Edge Financial Daily that Tan Sri Megat sent an internal memo to Felda staff revealing his decision to relinquish the chairmanship, with his last day supposed to be on June 30th, so 4 days from now.
Yep, he wrote a memo in Malay. He said that this is my journey and involvement during my service here, but my journey has come to an end.
Yeah, so I think it was very clear that his role his role was to help Felda do get into the turnaround transformation. And he during his time, he has developed the Felda white paper, which was revealed last April. And the agency had lodged a police report claiming that it was cheated in PT Eagle High Plantation deal with Rajawali Group.
So the question is also who's going to replace Tan Sri Megat. And one possible successor suggested by reported by The Edge is Tan Sri Bakir Saleh. So he will be retiring as MD of Sime Darby Plantations also on June 30th. And he has also worked at FGV as group president and CEO in 2009 to 2010, so that he could be a potential candidate there. Now, in other news, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has said that while the government is open to the possibility of selling Malaysia Airlines, he also, however, said it was also important to ensure its identity as the national carrier is preserved.
I think this is not hard to do. We've seen that being done in Proton, where Geely has come in as a 49% shareholder. And I'm not sure whether the identity of Proton in the past has been maintained, but the legacy identity is not a good one because it represented an era of a lot of leakages and wastages. And when we talk about maintaining the identity of Malaysian Airlines, what exactly are we talking about? Because this is a corporation that has hemorrhaged the country of a lot of our funds, right? Tens of billions of funds. And in the new era, what does that identity stand for?
Yeah, and I think it's really sounding very clear that the government is trying to let loose of its not responsibility, but its ownership over Malaysian Airlines, especially what Malaysian Airlines is going through. He's saying that, you know, despite all the things and many changes that have taken place, it keeps on failing, but thinks that it will take more than a change in management to turn things around. So I guess the only thing for us, any sentimental value, would be the name, I guess.
I guess, but also referring to what you mentioned, Julian, the Proton Geely model, taking a look at how Proton has performed in the past and how it has actually performed in the last couple of months or so, it's actually turned around quite a bit. I mean, at the latest total industry volume numbers that came out showed that national cars actually exceeded non-national cars in terms of cars purchased in the country so far. And that was, in all likelihood, chiefly due to Proton, because the X70 is now a very popular SUV. So it could well be that this model may be able to be applied to Malaysia Airlines.
Yeah, I think one can argue that the airline business is a really, really tough one. We've seen that already in India, a few airlines have filed for bankruptcy. The latest one being Jet Airways is kind of like, in many situations, a race to the bottom. So you got to be running such a well-oiled and well-planned machine with no room for mistakes, right? Because it's such a tough industry. And for that to happen, you need for Malaysia Airlines to be a totally different animal.
Yeah, especially considering the amount of money that has been injected to Malaysian Airlines, which is, I think, in total has come up to about 6 billion ringgit, 1.6 billion being used to delist the carrier from the stock exchange, another 1.6 spent on restructuring and retrenchment. And also, they've gone through about 6,000 job cuts and major contract reviews.
And I think there's also, you can't ignore the fact that they had two very major tragedies within a very close space of one another. So MH370 and MH17. And now the economist, Dr. Jovo Kamisundaram, was writing about this recently, and this was published in the Malaysian Insight. And he pointed out the fact that that this is, you know, the airline is a very airline business is a very capital intensive one. So it was a tough industry to be in the first place. And Malaysia Airlines has this extra hurdle of rescuing its identity, its reputation on a on an international level as well. And if we remember as well, following the tragic events of MH370 and MH17, Malaysia Airlines was privatized under Khazanah in 2014. And the goal was to start making money by 2017 and then possibly relist sometime between 2017 and this year. But clearly that has not happened.
Yeah, exactly. And don't forget that if you want to apply the Geely model to Malaysia Airlines, don't forget that Geely is actually an international, multinational car maker. They own Volvo. So they have a very big manufacturing base to piggyback on and then passing that benefit on to the local car, right? What do you do with a company like Malaysia Airlines? If you invite a foreign shareholder in, can you still maintain that identity?
All right, and now we are coming up on the 7:30 news, and after that, more international stories for you. So be sure to keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.